Okay, we are on page Kufnun Zion, on the top pages, which is 313. We're on the fifth line, Ozois, and it says, furthermore, in the English, that's where we're going to, back. But, so what we're talking about is the relationship of actually practically doing mitzvahs, as opposed to, say, the intention behind, or learning about the commandments. Now, learning about them is very important, because he said back in chapter 26, that, for example, when Mashiach comes, so you're still going to have things that are prohibited and forbidden, even though there's not going to be anything prohibited or forbidden. How does that mean? You'll still have the laws of not cooking a calf and a kid in its mother's milk, but the whole concept of cooking a kid in its mother's milk is not going to be prohibited. It's not going to be forbidden, because by the time that happens, we're not going to be eating anyway. We're going to be deriving our nurture directly from Hashem. So is it going to be, there is this importance of learning the halacha and saying the halacha like we learn about karbonis now. That's not really an applicable halacha, it's theory. So it's good. And then thinking, so you have the kavana involved. Va'ed zeis kemoshakasu p'nai lo yira. Moshe says, hareni nais kavaydecha. Show me your glory. That after the sin of the golden calf, Hashem said, Moshe said, I want to see you. He said, I saw that Hashem was leaning, got him to, he's giving me, he's full of mercy. So Hashem says, sorry, impossible, you can't see me. Shepnimi says, Elian, ena yachal yared lamata, rach chiseni yosev, ubuchinis acharayim. That the only aspect of the inner level of Hashem's wisdom that's able to come down is just an external expression. We have, you have this idea of external, of external, internal, of external, external, of internal, is best understood by the expression Yesh Ma'ayin. Yesh Ma'ayin is an abbreviated expression. The real expression is Yesh Ma'ayin U'Ma'ayin Liyesh. Okay, Yesh Le'ayin U'Ma'ayin Liyesh. Meaning, you have the Yesh Amiti, or the Yesh HaBara, the Hashem's true existence. The Hashem's true existence is only relevant to Hashem. There's no expression of relevance to anything. It's just for Hashem. Hashem's essence is what He is. That's the way the Rambam writes it. From there we have this Tzimtzum, the first Tzimtzum, which creates the Chol HaGadol, the Eagle HaGadol. This big empty space, which is void of godly revelation. Not that it's void of God. We discussed that in chapter 7 back in Shari Hudvamona. From there, there is encountered the Yesh HaNivra, the Ayin HaNivra, the source from whence everything comes. And finally, we have the Yesh HaNivra, which is us. Okay? So, when it says that what can be related, when Moshe said, I want to see you, he said, what I am, you're not going to see me. Because it's not relatable. The best we can do is we can show the external part of the internal. Okay? So you have, there are four different levels. You have the internal of the internal, the external of the internal, the internal of the external, the external of the external. Okay? It's like a logic table. So the so Moshe wanted to relate to us. What do we relate to? We relate to the external of the external, for the most part. Moshe said, I want to see you. So Hashem said, we'll give you the external. Okay? The Lurak Hasenius of Bechinis Acharayim, Shehu Naivlis Chach Me'ilah. That this is a flow of an external flow, like a waste product coming down. Va'ezeh Sharia Dibra Medivrei Chach Me'ilah Ain't a Mailed. It says, from my mother used to say, from talk you don't get pregnant, that the speech is an external expression of Hashem's speech, but nothing comes down from that external expression of Hashem. Hatipa nimshechas mahakeli dechachma Allah, v'yesh ba'avachinez ba'akeach ha'mailad. The external part of the Hashem's wisdom is from where, quote unquote, the flow comes from. He's because of the drop. He's going to use as an example, and it has the ability to give birth. Umahusa yesh ma'ayin, oh, mahavi yesh ma'ayin, to create something from nothing to something. V'gam hamshachas halchama Allah kalula ba, and it has within it the most highest levels of wisdom. Because this most external expression of brain, which is this sperm cell, receives its nurture from the very most internal part of the father's brain. And there's a physical transition, an actual physical transition of chemical components from the essence of the brain to the sperm cell, such that you take a kid, you can take a fingernail, and you could analyze the fingernail and determine who exactly the father is, because there's a direct expression of essence which is conveyed all the way through. That maintains its integrity. That's the level of Chachma. So he's going to say the same thing also with Hashem. He says, which is not the case with speech and thought. Person's sitting there and he's meditating, he's really thinking, he's really got it good, he knows what he's thinking about. What physically, intangibly is there in that thought? Nothing. There is nothing physiological about a thought. Scientists are never going to develop a thought reading machine, because in order to do that, there would have to be some kind of physical thing they could relate to. They can relate to the physical neurological charges that are going on in the brain, because those are physical. But thinking is not a physical thing. Okay, it's an expression of the brain, yes, but there's nothing physical going on when a person is sitting and thinking, per se. And compared to, now you could argue with this, and some neurologists will say to me, Rabbi, I mean, you have no idea what you're talking about. No, but
chemical reactions are going on.
There are chemical reactions, but you'll never be able to interpret those chemical reactions into letters and determine what this person is thinking. It's never going to happen, ever. And there's lots of people say never. No, because Hashem made it such that thought is not to be, my thoughts are for me. That's what they're created for. If I want you to know what I'm thinking, I'm going to tell you what I'm thinking. Because telling is what's related to you. So the thinking, okay, I'm thinking a very deep concept. Okay, I have to have an IQ of 180 to think this thought. Okay, it's a very deep thought. Okay, even still, it's an outward expression of the brain, but it's not an expression of brain which goes anywhere. It just stays right in my brain, which is not the case with the sperm cell. He doesn't get there yet. And this thought is only just a garment to the very essence and being of the intellect. And the intellect is just a garment for the essence of the soul. And it's just a way of conveying it, but It's not it. It's not the essence. When you're thinking, that's not the essence of your soul. That's a garment which contains the intellect, which contains the soul. And well, what do you get? You get a garment. Masha ein kein hatipa, which is not the case with the sperm cell. Nim shachba gam mahus hanefesh v'atzmus amalubish b'meichin v'lachin me'lida b'dayim olamash, which is not the case with the sperm cell. That what's conveyed, as we said before, is the very physiological essence of the father, such that a kid looks like its parent, because the essence of the child is the essence of the parent. Masha enkein, oh, I just heard that. V'zehu hefresh bein avodas ha-malachim ha-yotzim and neshikin l'neshamas ha-yotzim ma-hakelim. And this is the difference between an angel and a neshama. An angel is a product of what's referred to as, both are created through unifications within different aspects of Hashem. An angel, malach, is a product of the unification of Chochmah and Bina. Okay? From thinking, you don't get anything. So that's you had a malach. What's a malach? A malach is an expression of Hashem. They recognize their existence. Even if you're talking in midrashic terms, like it talks about the way to describe what Yeshaya saw, and you put it into those terms where you have this winged creature, So they recognize that they have a neshama. They recognize that their neshama is elokus, is godliness. And they know there's a whole lot more godliness. And that gets them all excited. Okay, because they know it's there, but they can't get to it. Okay, so they're an expression of, a unification of, wisdom and understanding, chokhmah and bina. A neshama is an expression of Zah and Malchus, the feminine, the masculine and feminine aspects of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu u'shchinte. They say every morning in Davin, L'shem Yichud Kudsh Baruch Hu u'shchinte. Okay, you say that before Baruch Shomar somewhere? Yeah. Which means we're uniting the male aspect of Hashem with the female aspect of Hashem. So what happens when you have males and females getting united? You have birth going on. So that this mitzvah that I'm doing is the result of this unification, that I have a physical mitzvah and I'm able to draw it down because of this physical vehicle of this mitzvah, I'm able to draw it down this great aspect of Hashem, the masculine feminine aspect of Hashem, by doing this mitzvah. Now, the normal creation process, what happens? You have the top, the top of the top lends itself to the bottom of the top. And then the bottom of the top lends itself to the top of the bottom, which lends itself to the bottom of the bottom. That's called Seder Yisdalshulus, the chain reaction. Okay, cause one becomes effect one, which becomes cause two, which becomes effect two, which becomes cause three, etc. So therefore, the external part of Atzilus becomes the internal part of the lower worlds. And he kind of lumps them all together. This is all taken from the Arizal. It says that we said it earlier, the Lamed Kalim of Atzilus. We're talking about that, the 30 Kalim of Atzilus. Because there's 10 spheres in Atzilus. But you have the beginning of each sphere, you have the middle of each sphere, and you have the end of each sphere. The beginning of each sphere becomes the source of the 10 spheres of the world of Bria, of creation. The middle of each sphere becomes the 10 spheres of the world of formation of Yetzirah. And the bottom of each sphere becomes the soul, the neshama, the chayis, which brings into existence the 10 spheres of Asiya, or the world of creation. Okay, so those are all external. Each one of those is an external expression of the world of Atzilus. Therefore, because this is true, so you have angels, for example, the higher levels of angels, the archangels. So they are external expressions of the intellect, which is a product of the unity, which is analogous and analogized to kissing. Only an external expression of intellect, bibiya, into the lower world. And the reason why it's only an external expression is because any external expression of Hashem's intellect is not able to be revealed. It has to go through the process, go through the kalim, go through the creation, dafka specifically, hayordim lamata betipas ha'adam emeichin, just like the example of this sperm cell, which descends from the essence of the father's brain until it finally becomes a baby. And that's what it means when it says, my face you will not see. Ubar, you have any questions? Is this...
hard.
It's hard. This is not, listen, I understand he wrote it for himself, and it was his sons who decided we're going to throw it in the back of the Tanya, just because we can, and because these explain various concepts which are brought up in Tanya, but if you need more explanation about what you're explaining than what you're actually explaining, you know, the explanation requires more explanation than the thing you're trying to explain, so, yeah. But it was for him, so. Ubarmin Kol Dein. Now, aside from all this, this is we're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4 pages of what we just said. Aside from all that, because we still have... we still have 5 pages left. We just hit the midpoint. Okay? This is already the fifth session we're doing this on. Aside from all this, afilu b'neshamas d'tzilus, ashuhu mekelim d'tzilus. Now, the souls of Atzilus, the meaning not this, not those people, not people's souls, but the vitality of Atzilus, the chayas which is in Atzilus. Ashuhu mekelim d'tzilus. It's also an external expression because it, and anything that's going to enliven anything else can only be an external expression. It has to relate to it, so therefore it's not the internal. V'kein b'nefesh ruach mekelim d'yitzira v'asiya. So, and also with the higher aspects of the vitality in the lower worlds, because everything has a nefesh ruach and neshama, and then the higher level nefesh is what really comes into play. Hine rechima de chila rechima sichlim shalehem ma'irin gam kein b'kein de yitzira v'asiya. So this arouses then and then causes there to be a great revelation also in the lower aspects of Yitzira and Asiya, formation and action. Meaning to say that the higher aspect, why is there a nefesh and a neshama and a ruach in Yitzira and Asiya, is in order that there be, the nefesh should be able to work, meaning there's a top of the bottom in order that we should get to the bottom of the bottom, to put it into simple English. As it says now, that this causes an arousal from below to above, and in this arousal from above, or this causes an elevation from below to above, and this arousal from above, and this is only, just, he says, is only histalkus. This is just a... just an external expression. As you look at the note down below, note 58, the author will shortly contrast two elevations of vessels and lights, the former alone being desirable. He will cite examples of light vessels' relationships, like souls and bodies or emotions indeed. The soul must invest the body to give it life. Emotion must inspire the deed. When the vessel rises to receive the light of this purpose is fulfilled. When the light rises, it removes itself from the vessel or instrument. Then soul does not vivify body, and emotion does not engender deed in terms of divine light. The ascent of the vessels is a receptacle ability fulfilled. Ascend the light and the obscuring of God. Which makes much sense as the inside. So what happens is that everything is in a state of flux, of movement. There's nothing static or stationary. Everything is moving. And that's how life is conveyed. Okay? If you want to live, you have to inhale some time and you have to exhale some time. And your heart has to constrict some time and expand some time. Okay, and everything works on this way of moving closer and distance, close distance, close distance. And it's all based on Yechezkel when he writes in his vision that he saw that the hachayis rotzav eshuv, that the animals ran back and forth. So chayis could also be translated, not chayos meaning animals, but chayis meaning life, is also going back and forth. Requires this backwards and forth thing. So that when is there conveyance, is there has to be a proper receptacle for it. There has to be a proper tool to convey. I could get very excited. Okay? I'm so excited I'm going to put on tefillin. If I don't have any put tefillin, it's never going to be realized. Okay, so what has to happen is there has to be this elevation of keli, it's called, meaning at the desire for whatever it is has to be present in order to fulfill it. And then once it's fulfilled, now once I put on tefillin, I don't have the desire anymore. The desire has left. That's why he says it's only histalkus chas hashom. The desire is not there anymore, because it's the desire has been fulfilled. In order for me to get that desire back, well, I have to be in a different situation where now I need to put on tefillin again, and then the desire comes back, like the next day, for example. Okay, and the thing is with chayis, the way it comes in is that it's not coming in exactly the same as it did last time. Every time the chayis comes back down, it's on a higher level because it's been elevated by the previous time that it came down. What did it come down for? It came down to go back up. And when it goes back up to a higher level. So that means what coming down is from a higher level. And what does that do? It makes it go up to a higher level than that. So the tefillin that we put on today is more than the tefillin we put on yesterday, and the tefillin we put on tomorrow is going to be more than the tefillin we put on today. And what it accomplishes. That's what the Zohar says, that there's an order to everything. That first it has to come down, and then it has to get elevated, and after it's elevated, it comes down again. So you have the coming down, which is the hamshacha, and then you have the halah, which is the elevation. Al yidei halos man misak. And he said this on the previous page, which is where we ended the last time. When the attribute of our conscious now is elevated to the level of Hashem's bina, that which is where the mitzvahs are coming from, b'chinas uvde malila, in a way of working and speaking. This is the whole purpose of the creation. He's galus or elyon lamata, to reveal this high level of light down here. The real purpose of creation is not to elevate the world and make it spiritual, because if Hashem wanted spiritual, he could have stopped it spiritual. The purpose is shayna el lefisha. That's only temporary that it does that. When you do something, okay, you're elevating the world. But the purpose is to the elevating the world to draw down a higher level of spiritual, so that the spiritual becomes physical. That's the same thing like Shabbos and Yom Kippur, for example. Okay, Yom Tov, you have to make it a Yom Tov. That's why it says Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, who sanctifies the Jews, who make the Yom Tov. Okay, but Shabbos is Mekadosh Mekayim. It happens by itself. Hashem's doing it. Mekadosh Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadosh Shabbos. Hashem is the one who makes the Shabbos. So that the Shabbos is this elevation that we were talking about for sure and for Yom Kippur also. Avol, I just lost the place, sorry. Yom Kippur was listening. Avol lo yaliyos v'histalkus ha'aretz chas v'shalom. The purpose of creation is not that light should go up or light should go down. Light's not where it's at. What's at is what we do with it, how we're making something from it. That the soul of a person's body is considered in this world is considered like the light, the vestiges. No, vestiges is the wrong way. Like the vitality which is coming into the kelim, which is the tools. And so too also this intellectual love and fear, which would be the kavana that a person has when they do a physical a mitzvah dafka, that kavana enlivens the mitzvah. Lachin hispalo Moshe tefilas kaminyan ve'eschanan al kiyam mitzvahs ma'asiyas dafka. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu prayed 515 times to be able to go into Israel, that he was Mr. Theory. Everything Moshe taught, he never did. It was all theoretical to him. He wanted to put it into practical. V'hayhu l'dvar gashmi shel halachoseihem. He knew the halachas. He wanted to have the thing. Which is what happens now. You're sitting and you're learning. We're learning about Kachim. We're told that Sosena Nasa Parim. Parim Nasa Sosena, that our lips replace the cows. When you're learning about Kachim and you're saying the davening, so it's like you're offering sacrifices. Okay? It's like you're offering sacrifices. You're not offering sacrifices. Okay? So it's not doing what the physical thing is doing. So when you're learning about the kavanas of the Shema, and you got them really clear, you didn't do anything until you actually said the Shema. And so too it is with all the mitzvahs. We're going to go a couple more lines. No, actually this is the place to stop, I think. Yeah, because he's now going to give a physical example with the Esrog and the sparks, yes. So we're on page 314, right in the middle. And we're at Achla Havan Orva Esrog. In the English, it's on page 611. And in my book, which is, it's 314. And we must understand Esrog as the first paragraph to be continued.